الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم، لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم، له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض، من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه، يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم، ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء، وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض، ولا يئوده حفظهما، وهو العلي العظيم. صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله. On the most precious gift of Iman, the perfect teachings of the Deen of Islam, and the great ni'mah and favor of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whom Allah has favored with the best in every regard. Allah has reserved the final and best revelation, the Quran Azim, for our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just as Allah has reserved the best day of the week as the special day for this ummah, the leader of all days of the week, the day of Jumu'ah. And literally on our doorstep, this most esteemed, noble and compassionate guest, the Mubarak month of Ramadan that Allah has reserved as a special gift for this ummah. And so, when we look into the Quran Azim, the greatest miracle of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most virtuous surah as an entire chapter, as we have already looked at, Surah Al-Fatiha. Today, we look at the greatest single verse of the Quran Azim. The most virtuous ayah of the Quran Azim, famously known Ayatul Kursi. This great verse of Quran Azim has many virtues, many merits. In majority of the detailed books of hadith, there are entire chapters dedicated to the virtue of Ayatul Kursi, Fadailu Al-Ayatul Kursi. Suffice to say that our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that the high point, the pinnacle of the Quran Azim is Surah Al-Baqarah. And within Surah Al-Baqarah, there is an ayah that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Sayyidu Ayah Al-Quran, which is the leader of all verses of the Quran Azim, and that is Ayatul Kursi. One of the greatest qaris, expert and proficient reciters of the Quran Azim, of this ummah, Sayyidina Ubay bin Ka'b, radiyallahu ta'ala an, whose appellate honorary title is Abu al-Mundhir. Our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once asked him, and this one of the modes of teaching, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would start out by posing a question. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, O Abu al-Mundhir, ayyu ayatun min kitabillahi ma'aka a'zam, that of all the verses of Quran that you have committed to memory. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew him to be an expert hafiz of the Quran. So of the verses of the Quran that you have committed to memory, which one is the most virtuous? Sayyidina Ubay bin Ka'b radiyallahu anhu, as was the trait of Sahaba radiyallahu anhu ajma'in, were extremely humble, that Allah and His Rasul knows better. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted an answer, he therefore posed the question a second time. Hazrat Ubay bin Ka'b radiyallahu anhu was then compelled to respond, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum, that this is the most virtuous verse of the Quran Azim. Our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his Mubarak hand on the chest of Ubay bin Ka'b radiyallahu ta'ala an, as a means of congratulating and made a special dua, liyahnika al-ilm, that may your ilm and your knowledge be mubarak, and may it be blessed and utilized for beneficial purposes on account of him giving the correct answer. We learn a further virtue that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in one narration, one hadith, the magnanimity of this verse, that it assumes a form and it has lisanan wa shafatan. It has a tongue and two lips. And it is at the foot of the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. And this ayah itself perpetually, continuously, tuqaddisul malik. It mentions the purity, the honor of Allah Ta'ala continuously and perpetually. So the one who links oneself in love, in consistency with the reading of this ayah, gets a portion of the closeness and the love of Allah Ta'ala. The virtues of reading it on various instances are amazing. We are encouraged to read it after every salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that whomsoever reads this ayah, dubura kulli salatin, that person who reads ayatul kursi after every salah, لَمْ يَمْنَعْهُ مِنْ دُخُولِ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا الْمَوْتِ. Subhanallah, what a great virtue. Then the only thing that prevents that person's direct entry from this dunya into Jannat is the intermediary stage of death. Had it not been for death, a person would have went straight from this dunya into Jannah. Now the meaning given is that the moment a person dies, and as we see in the reading of the kitab, desire for the akhirah, already a person in the stages right at the beginning of death into the qabr starts to taste some aspects of Jannah already. So reading the surah after every salah has this virtue. Furthermore, one hadith we learn that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that person who reads ayatul kursi after salah, فَهُوَ فِي ذِمَّةِ اللَّهِ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ الْأُخْرَى, that person is in the complete protection in the responsibility of Allah Ta'ala until the next salah. So that person enjoys the full protection of Allah Ta'ala until the next salah. We also encourage to read the surah in our homes at night. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that any home in which this ayah is recited, if there happens to be a shaitan, then that shaitan will run away because of the magnanimity and the effects of this verse. Why should it not be so when this verse speaks exclusively about Allahu Azza wa Jal and His attributes? The entire ayah is dedicated only to this. In fact, in this ayah, there are 10 sentences and 13 different attributes of Allah Ta'ala that are mentioned. Another great virtue of reading Ayatul Kursi at night, and especially when we go to bed, and we read this ayah, innumerable benefits of spiritual as well as physical protection. And we learn about this from an amazing incident in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the incident of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala in the Bukhari Sharif. There are various similar incidents. Hadrat Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala, an incident that has some resemblance experienced by Hadrat Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala, that he narrates from his father. So we look at one of them in detail that emphasizes what a great verse this is. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had deputed Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, who was extremely close and beloved to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, dedicated himself exclusively to be in the company and in proximity to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at all times for seeking the knowledge of deen. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam appointed him to keep guard over that wealth, over those goods, the grains, etc., that had been given as a form of charity for the month of Ramadan. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam put Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu to guard over that for the night. And as he was keeping guard, a person, a stranger, comes and starts to steal and take off that grain in handfuls. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala becomes aware of this and says that I will capture you and take you to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for you are taking this in an unlawful manner. The person then begs and pleads and says that I am a person who is in dire need, muhtaj, wa alayya ayalun, and I have dependents, I have wife and children whom I have to feed. Wali hajatun shadida, and I'm in dire and desperate need, so please overlook my shortcoming and spare me. Do not arrest me and take me to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala felt the man pity and allowed him to go free. Next morning, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is informed by Allah ta'ala as to what had transpired. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam immediately asks Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, ma fa'ala asiruk al-bariha? What did your captive, what happened with you and your captive last night, O Abu Huraira? So Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala reported the incident. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, innahu kadhab, that person has spoken a lie, but be aware, he will come back tonight again. And lo and behold, the Mubarak words of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, next night as he is keeping guard, the same person comes, he is caught, threatened, puts forward the same excuse, that I'm in desperate need, I have dependents, wife and children I have to see to, so please overlook my shortcoming. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala again takes him pity, allows him to go. The second morning, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam again asks him, what happened with your captive of last night? Reports the interaction. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, again he has spoken a lie, but be wary, he will return. Third night, exactly the same. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu catches him red-handed, taking handfuls of grain. And the person puts forward the same excuse. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says that this cannot now be acceptable, that twice I had allowed you to go and you said you will not return, but you went against your word, so now definitely I will arrest you and take you to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The person then pleads and says that for the very last time, I will never come back again. Allow me to go, and in lieu of that, I will teach you something beneficial. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu listens and he says that read Ayatul Kursi every night. If you do so, لا يقربك شيطان, no shaitan will ever come close to you. A further benefit is that there is an angel appointed to guard over you, to protect you for the entire night, and you remain in the protection of Allah Ta'ala. So we learn there is an angel for the entire night guarding, protecting that person, and shaitan runs away from a home. Shaitan does not come close to that person. In further narrations, we learn that it is a means of protection for oneself, one's home, the neighborly homes, and even those in the wider surroundings are protected through the barakat of this greatest of verses of the Quran Azim. And saying this, he disappears and runs away. So next morning, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam again asked Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu what had happened. He narrated the incident, that this time he told me he will teach me something beneficial, and recounts what he had said about the Ayatul Kursi, that shaitan does not come near such a person, and that person is in the protection of Allah for the entire night. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Sadaqaka wa huwa kadhub, that though he is a great and a habitual liar, on this instance, in this regard, he has spoken the truth. So by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's verification, it becomes a specific, a stated virtue. Someone asks a question, how can you derive proof from a statement of shaitan? Then one of the means of sunnah is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's verifying an incident. So by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam here saying that though he habitually and always tells lies, on this instance he has spoken the truth. In other words, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam verifies the virtues of Ayatul Kursi. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, do you know who was your captive for the last three nights? Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, I do not know. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, that was actually shaitan. So it was shaitan who had come in human form. And in this instance, we learn the benefits and the many, many virtues of Ayatul Kursi. So what does Allah Ta'ala say in this great verse, the leader of verses of Quran Azim, great means of protection, to be read after every salah, to be read every night in our homes before sleeping? So Allah Ta'ala in this surah speaks exclusively about His attributes and qualities. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, we first look at a basic translation and then some meanings. Allah la ilaha illahu. Allah, the greatest of all Allah's names. Who is Allah? La ilaha illahu. That Allah, that there is none worthy of worship besides Him alone. Al Hayy, the ever living. Al Qayyum, the self subsistent, and the one who is self subsistent and sees to the needs and upkeeps everything else around him. So the self-subsistent and the all-sustaining. Allah is the self-subsistent and the all-sustaining. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. That slumber or dozing off, neither does that overtake Allah Ta'ala, and nor does a deeper sleep. So dozing off or a light sleep or a heavy and a deep sleep never overtakes Allah Ta'ala. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. To Allah alone belongs all that is in the skies, the heavens, and every single thing that is in the earth. It belongs to Allah, it is His creation, it is in His control. مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. Who is that person who can ever intercede in the court of Allah except only and solely with the permission of Allah Ta'ala? That none can intercede in the court of Allah except only with the permission given by Allah Ta'ala to do so. يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. The perfection and completeness of Allah's knowledge, that Allah knows all that is before them and all that is behind them. Everything of the past, everything in the future is known to Allah Ta'ala. وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءٍ. Whereas they cannot encompass even a minute bit of the knowledge of Allah Ta'ala except that which Allah Ta'ala wills to give to whom He wishes. وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The great kursi, the divine, the chair of divinity, the seat of divinity of Allah Azza wa Jal encompasses all the skies and the earth put together. وَلَا يَؤُودُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا. The protection of the skies and the earth and the upkeep does not tire Allah Ta'ala in the least bit. وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. Allah Ta'ala is the most supreme, the high, the lofty, Al-Azim, the magnificent and the great. We can obviously see from this great ayah, consisting of 13 sentences of 13 qualities, attributes of Allah Ta'ala within 10 sentences. So what does Allah Ta'ala say? Allah commences this verse with the greatest of all of Allah Ta'ala's names. It is known as Ismul Dhat, the personal name of Allah. And previously looked at, but to repeat, Allah is the greatest of all names of Allah. What does it mean? That being whose existence is an absolute necessity, that great being who encompasses all the qualities of being the sole creator, nourisher, sustainer, that being alone who is worthy of worship, that being who is a possessor of all qualities of perfection, can be summarized in the following sentence. What does Allah mean? That being who is the possessor of all qualities of perfection and who is pure of any kind of deficiency or fault whatsoever. La ilaha illa hu. The first thing Allah Ta'ala says about Himself, Allah is introducing Himself to us, and the most important thing and the cornerstone of our deen, Tawheed, none worthy of worship besides Allah alone. Allah Ta'ala has no partner in His being, in His amazing attributes and qualities, and in His actions. Allah Ta'ala has no form of partnership whatsoever. So this kalima of Tawheed, La ilaha illa hu, or as we say, La ilaha illallah, the most virtuous, the most supreme of all words. Allah Ta'ala revealed to Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, and he imparted this advice to his children, that if La ilaha illallah is put in one pan of the scale, and the skies and the earth and everything else put together, La ilaha illallah far outweighs that. The third attribute, Al-Hayy, Allah is the ever-living. So when Allah is the ever-living, what does this mean? There was never a time when Allah was non-existent in the past, and never will Allah Ta'ala cease to exist. Al-Hayy also tells us that it's very important that we understand. We can never fully fathom Allah with our fallible minds, but Allah can never be comprehended or understood in human-like qualities or spatial circumstances. Allah is Al-Hayy, the ever-living. Death will never ever come to Allah Ta'ala. Al-Qayyum, amazing quality. Allah Ta'ala is the one who is self-subsistent. Allah is not in need of anything or anyone to keep Himself in existence. But at the same time, this word also contains the additional meaning that everything else besides Allah, every single thing, every single atom in this entire universe, its existence, its being maintained, is totally dependent on Allah. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is self-subsistent and the one who sustains and keeps everything else in existence. This is a very important point. Al-Qayyum is one of the special names of Allah Ta'ala. So very, very important point to note that many a times a person may have the name with the attributes of Allah Ta'ala attached to it. For example, Abdullah, the slave of Allah, Abdul Qayyum, the slave of the self-subsistent, the all-sustaining. Similarly, Abdul Hayy, the servant of the ever-living, Abdul Razak, the one who is a servant of the abundant giver of sustenance. So extremely important, and it is a very, very serious matter that if a person has such a name, let us ensure that we always attach to it Abd. So like if a person's name is Abdullah, we will never say Allah because we know that is Allah's name. We will always say Abdullah. So similarly, a person has the name Abdul Samad. So we don't say Samad or Abdul Qayyum and we say Qayyum, or Abdul Razak and we say Razak. And similarly, any of the great attributes of Allah Ta'ala, we always attach Abd to it when addressing a person. This is considered a very, very serious matter. It is considered a sin to call that person with the direct attribute of Allah Ta'ala. So something that we be wary of and make others aware of. A very, very important point. Furthermore, Allah Ta'ala says, quality number four. So one will think that in being the all-sustainer, seeing to everything and death never comes to Allah, the ever-living. So the next question that will emanate, Allah Ta'ala answers it, لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةُ وَلَا نَوْمُ, that no light sleep or dozing off, and neither does a deep sleep ever overtake Allah. In being the all-sustaining, Allah is not in need of rest, fatigue, and tiredness never overtakes Allah Ta'ala. Again, we do not understand Allah Ta'ala in human-like terms. Allah is far beyond and lofty above, having human-like qualities and traits. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Allah Ta'ala says, to Allah alone belongs. The word ma in Arabic conveys a general meaning. So it means every single thing without exception in the skies and every single thing, every atom that is within this earth, it totally belongs to Allah. What does it mean? It belongs to Allah. Allah alone is the sole creator of it. Allah alone is the sole nourisher and sustainer of it. Allah Ta'ala alone executes his decisions over it as he wills, and nobody can compel Allah in that. Everything is totally, not a single atom lies out of the control of Allah Ta'ala. This is what this great verse, لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, and it appears at many places in the Quran. So everything in the skies, everything in the earth belongs to Allah. It is Allah's creation. Allah Ta'ala executes his decisions and wills over it as he desires. Nothing, even a single atom, is out of the control and the domain of Allah Ta'ala in this entire universe. So this is the perfection of Allah Ta'ala's power, all-encompassing power. Furthermore, Allah Ta'ala says, مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. Who is that person who has the audacity to ever intercede in the court of Allah Ta'ala of their own accord? This happens only إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ, only with the will, the permission of Allah Ta'ala. So let alone intercession, a person will not have the strength to say even a single word in the court of Allah, except when Allah Ta'ala gives permission to do so. لَا يَتَكَلَّمُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ الرَّحْمَنِ. On the day of Qiyam, Allah's grandeur will be there. Nobody will speak except the one whom Rahman gives permission to speak. Nobody else will be able to make an utterance except what Allah Ta'ala's will. So we learn from here, intercession, only those will be allowed to intercede whom Allah gives permission to do so. In intercession, the word shafa'a literally means to join. So when you have intercession, you have a person who is of a higher status and joining that rank and status in order to benefit a person who may not be of that rank. So there are many selected creations of Allah Ta'ala whom Allah will give permission to intercede in his court on the day of Qiyamah on behalf of others. For example, Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam, the messengers of Allah, will be allowed to intercede on behalf of the believers in the nations. We have our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will enjoy a special rank called Al-Maqam Al-Mahmood, that we make dua for after every salah. What is this rank? Where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will intercede on behalf of the entire humanity, when they will be in absolute pandemonium and fear. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will intercede on behalf of the entire humanity for the hisab and the accountability to at least be commenced, so that they are taken out of that very and that state of anxiety and worry and concern. Furthermore, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know, will continuously intercede. So that intercession will be for the entire humanity for hisab to commence. But thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, numerous occasions, will intercede on behalf of his ummatis who had iman when they departed from this world, believe in the essentials of the deen of Islam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will continuously prostrate in the court of Allah, praise Allah in words Allah was never praised with. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be commanded by Allah, irfa' ra'asak, raise your head, washfa' tushaffa' wasal tu'ta, ask what you want, it will be granted, intercede, your intercession is guaranteed acceptance. And so Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will intercede on behalf of his ummatis and go personally and remove his ummatis from the fire of Jahannam time and again, to and fro. Similarly, the malaika, the angels would be allowed the power of intercession. The ulama, leaders, religious leaders of the nations will be allowed to intercede on behalf of those whom they had taught, they had given guidance to, had led in salah, etc. The hafiz of the Qur'an Kareem who had lived and practiced the Qur'an Azim, we learn specifically, will be allowed to intercede on behalf. شَفَّعَهُ اللَّهُ فِي عَشَرَةٍ مِّنْ أَهْلِ بَيْتِهِ. At least 10 family members who otherwise were doomed to Jahannam because of weakness in actions, that Hafiz of the Quran, who had lived and practiced the Quran, will be allowed to intercede. We find other categories, the martyrs, the Salihin, the pious senior elders of deen, to those who were the disciples and would take them as a means of guidance. Again, the benefit of the company of the Salihin benefits in this dunya, benefits in the akhirat as well. So only those will be allowed to intercede whom Allah gives permission for. And similarly, those for whom intercession can take place, illa liman irtada, will be allowed only for those whom Allah is pleased with. The basic condition of somebody interceding on one's behalf is that that person for whom intercession is taking place, the basic condition is that person has to depart from this dunya with iman, and then intercession will benefit that person. Furthermore, Allah Ta'ala says, يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. The perfection and the completeness of Allah Ta'ala's knowledge. Allah Ta'ala knows every single thing, every single particle, every single atom that is before them, ahead of them, that is behind them. So one meaning is, whatever had happened before any person's birth, Allah knows it. And from that person's birth onwards, Allah Ta'ala knows it. Allah Ta'ala knows every single thing of the past and all that is to happen in the future. It is known to Allah Ta'ala. A third meaning, Allah Ta'ala knows everything that we can normally comprehend with our senses, but Allah Ta'ala, خَلْفَهُمْ, that which is hidden from our senses, all matters of the unseen, that is completely in the knowledge of Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala's completeness and perfection of knowledge, Allah Ta'ala says at another juncture in the Qur'an Azim, وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا, that not a single leaf falls off a tree in any part of the world, but it is fully within the knowledge. Allah knows when it came into existence, what was its lifespan, how large was it, which insects had eaten from it, when will it fall to the ground, what will happen to it thereafter. Can we imagine the huge jungles, the Amazon jungles? We know there are huge trees in the depths of the ocean, such depths that the human cannot go to. So Allah says, not a single leaf falls in any part of the world, but it is completely in the knowledge of Allah. وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ, not a single seed in the depths of the earth, but it is in the knowledge of Allah Ta'ala. As Sayyidina Luqman radiallahu ta'ala, in impressing upon his son this recognition that Allah is watching me at all times, Allah's knowledge reigns over me at any given time, such beautiful advice and guidance for us to inculcate this in our children, where he says, يَا بُنَيَّ, O my beloved son, إِنَّهَا إِن تَكُ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ, if there is something as minute as a mustard seed, فَتَكُنْ فِي صَخْرَةٍ, it is hidden within a huge boulder, أو فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ, or somewhere in the far reaches of the heavens, or fil ard, or anywhere in the darknesses and the depths of the earth, ya'ti biha Allah, it is in the knowledge and the power of Allah. Allah can bring it forth whenever He wishes to do so. So Allah's knowledge is all encompassing, it is perfect. وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءٍ. That people, the entire humanity, the entire creation collectively cannot encompass and have the knowledge about Allah except what Allah Ta'ala wishes to give and endow to whom, whatever amount He wishes. So the knowledge, a very important point here of aqidah, the full knowledge of everything, the seen, the unseen, every single matter, that is the sole domain of Allah Ta'ala alone. Allah alone is alimul ghaybi wa shahada, the one knowledgeable of all things, the seen as well as the unseen, that is only the exclusive domain and prerogative of Allah Ta'ala. When Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was traveling with Sayyidina Khadir alayhi salam on his great journey of knowledge, they saw a bird perched on the boat on which they were sitting, and it pecked a few droplets of water. Sayyidina Khadir alayhi salam said to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and these are two great servants of Allah, possessors of abundance of knowledge, that your knowledge, my knowledge, the knowledge of the entire creation put together, its similitude, its example, are like those few droplets of water that that bird has taken. And Allah's knowledge, which is only an example, is like the water in all the oceans put together. That is only an example. Allah's knowledge has no end to it. Speaking about Allah's greatness, His attributes, Allah Ta'ala says in an ayah of the Quran Kareem, in such a beautiful description, وَلَوْ أَنَّمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنْ شَجَرَةٍ أَقْلَامٍ. Allah Ta'ala says that take every single tree in the world, chop it down and manufacture pens of it. وَالْبَحْرُ يَمُدُّهُ. Take all the water of the oceans put together. We know that 70% of this entire planet is made up of water. And what is insan? What is the human being? Scientists acknowledge that we, the human beings, have only explored 5% of the ocean. So 95% of that which makes up 70% of this planet is completely unexplored out of the knowledge of the human being. Can we fathom the greatness, the perfection of Allah Ta'ala's knowledge? So they cannot, so Allah Ta'ala says, take all the pens that have been manufactured from all the trees of the world, take the seven oceans' water, put together and make it into ink. مِن بَعْدِهِ سَبْعَةُ أَبْحُرُ. And thereafter bring another seven oceans, convert that into ink, and take these pens and that ink and start writing about Allah, His greatness, His attributes and His qualities. Those, the ink of those oceans would expire, they would come to an end, but you will come nowhere close to even writing a minimal amount of the greatness of Allah and His attributes and qualities. Furthermore, Allah Ta'ala says, وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The divine seat of greatness of Allah Ta'ala, kursi, literally means a chair. But obviously Allah is free of human-like qualities of standing and sitting, and free of any spatial constraints as a human being is. Allah Ta'ala's seat of divinity, of His greatness, of His perfection, of knowledge, of His power, encompasses all the skies and the earth. So this is the kursi. We have the arsh, the great throne of Allah Ta'ala. So the seat of divinity of Allah Ta'ala, Hazrat Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says it is so huge, so magnificent, that all the seven skies and this entire planet, in comparison to the great kursi of Allah Ta'ala, is like a ring that is worn on a small finger, and that ring is thrown in a huge jungle, in a huge plain of earth, like that ring is minuscule in that huge plain of earth or the jungle. So is the example of the seven heavens and the earth put together in comparison to the kursi. The kursi in turn is like a small little ring in a huge jungle in comparison to the great arsh, the great throne of Allah Ta'ala. وَلَا يَؤُودُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا. Allah Ta'ala says further that the protection, the upkeep of the skies and the earth will never ever tire Allah Ta'ala. It does not bring fatigue to Allah Ta'ala. Again, we can never understand it in human-like terms. Sustaining, keeping everything in existence, skies and earth, this never brings fatigue or tiredness to Allah Ta'ala. وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. In conclusion, Allah Ta'ala says His final two qualities, that put all of this together and you will arrive at the conclusion that Allah is the most lofty, the most superior, the highest, and Al-Azim. Allah is the magnificent, the possessor of all forms of greatness. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to have muhabbat and love for this ayah. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. We have already discussed in detail the immense, innumerable virtues of this ayah. To read it after every salah, to read it at night, when we get into our beds, to read it as a great form of protection and being in the care of Allah Ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Going on to the second part of our lesson, reading from the great kitab, Shawqi Watan, Desire of the Akhirah. As Mawlana Shafi'i Thanwi rahimahullah had written this specifically when there was a major plague that had spread in the areas, and in order to create the correct mindset that difficulties that befall a mu'min in this dunya synonymous, but look at every situation with a positive light. So in the last chapter, we looked at those virtues and blessings that a person enjoys from the moment of death onwards into the qabr through the barakat of iman. We go on to the chapter that follows thereafter, chapter number 12, and the heading of this chapter, comfort and ease in the mahshar, that when we will be brought back to life, the plains of qiyamah, what comfort and ease Allah Ta'ala will grant to a believer. So the first and a very famous hadith, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, سَبْعَةٌ يُظِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّهُ إِمَامٌ عَادِلٌ وَالشَّابٌ نَشَى فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ وَرَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ وَرَجُلَانِ تَحَابَّا فِي اللَّهِ اجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِ وَتَفَرَّقَ عَلَيْهِ وَرَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ خَالِيًا فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَاهُ وَرَجُلٌ دَعَتْهُ امْرَأَةٌ ذَاتُ حَسَبٍ وَجَمَالٍ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ مَنْصَبٍ وَجَمَالٍ فَقَالَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ وَرَجُلٌ تَصَدَّقَ بِصَدَقَةٍ فأخفاها حتى لا تعلم شماله ما تنفق يمينه أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. سيدنا أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه رئيس رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Allah Ta'ala will grant seven people shade, the shade of his great throne, on that day when there will be no other shade besides the shade of Allah Ta'ala's throne. So when the sun will come very close to above the heads of creation, people will be drenched in perspiration out of worry, concern and the severe heat, then we know how welcome shade would be. And the only form of shade on the plains of Qiyamah is that which will be cast by the great arsh and the great throne of Allah, and selected people will have the honor of being in that arsh. In this hadith 7, many others have been mentioned as discussed previously. So Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala mentions that seven people, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned seven people will enjoy the shade. One is a just ruler, a person in a position of leadership, of authority, and exercises that position and leads with fairness, with justice, with honesty. Similarly, any person in any position of responsibility and does so, then it is hoped they will also accrue this reward. Number two, a young person who grew up in the worship, the obedience of Allah. We know that in our youthful years, the person is the pinnacle, mental, physical, emotional strength. So if those were channeled in the obedience of Allah, not following one's whims and desires and fancies, one's powers, one's intellect, one's emotions were channeled in Allah's obedience. One narration has the addition that that person kept the company of the salihin, of the pious, that youngster will be given the shade of Allah Ta'ala's throne. Number three, that person whose heart remains attached to the masjid, that from the time he leaves, the desire and yearning is there, when will I go back? And we know the sadness and sorrow that in these days, you know, the masjids, all we can do, let us have this sincere yearning, desire, really make sincere dua, shed tears, that Allah Ta'ala very, very soon alleviates this condition, so that we may have this great honor of being the visitors to Allah Ta'ala in His house. At the same time, let us do sincere tawbah and repentance for our shortcomings regarding our connection to the house of Allah Ta'ala. It will not be that we don't appreciate this ni'mah and this great favor of Allah Ta'ala. Furthermore, two believers who kept mutual love for one another, but only for the pleasure of Allah. They got together for Allah's pleasure, discussed for Allah's pleasure, departed from each other, all of it for the happiness of Allah, no ulterior motives. Number five, the one who remembers Allah Ta'ala in solitude. When a person is all alone and one remembers Allah, then either out of the love of Allah, the fear of Allah Ta'ala, repenting from sins, tears flow from the eyes. That person who remembers Allah when all alone, so there is no question of doing it to show off or to claim piety when all alone one sheds tears for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, that person will enjoy the shade of the Arsh of Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. And lastly, or number six, that person who is seduced to commit zina and adultery, and the temptation is very high, a woman who is of a high-ranking family, who has been blessed with beauty, so attractive in every sense of the word, but that person refrains and says, Inni akhafullah, stays away from haram and guards one chastity, that I fear Allah Ta'ala. Similarly, it applies to any person in any situation, be it a male, be it a female, who is tempted but to guard and protect chastity, will enjoy that great honor of being those, the special ones in the shade of Allah Ta'ala's throne on day of Qiyamah. And lastly, that person who gives sadaqah and charity, and one of the means of cooling the anger of Allah, of drawing Allah Ta'ala's mercy speedily under these conditions, is abundant sadaqah, but do it for Allah's pleasure. And now and again, we do it secretively so that Allah alone knows about it. That brings Allah Ta'ala's mercy very, very speedily. So a person who gives sadaqah with such secrecy that the left hand is not even aware of what the right hand spends. In other words, it is done so secretively that it is known only to Allah and to that person. Allahu Azza wa Jal give us tawfiq to imbibe these qualities. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.